Beginning in verse 27, after this he went out, he being Jesus, and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, a few months ago, my father had COVID, and it was pretty bad for him for a while. My brother, who lives at home with my parents, had it as well, and my mother, but they didn't really notice they had it. But my dad did. It hit him pretty hard. And some of you, I know, I'm sure, have had similar experiences. There are some who, when they have COVID, they don't even notice they have it. And others, it really hits them hard. It knocks them over. Well, it really knocked my dad over. And one day, it was so bad that my parents called 911. So an ambulance came to the house, picked my dad up, brought him to the hospital. Now, he came home shortly later, and now he's all fine. God was merciful to us. But here's the thing. A few days after all this happened, my parents and brother video called my family to tell us about everything that happened. And we were all like, hearing this news, we were like, "Wow, my dad had to go to the hospital in an ambulance because of COVID." But when it was all said and done, what my parents really only wanted to talk about was one thing. Do you know what it was? The paramedics. The two men who came in the ambulance, all they talked about was them. And they kept saying, and my brother as well, they were so good. And they described everything. They described how it was when the ambulance drove up, how they came to the door, how they came into the house. They described how kind they were, how professional, how thorough they were. They even described what they looked like, which one was driving, which one was sitting in the back. They went on, and they kept repeating, "These men were so good." And that was the highlight of my dad having COVID. He had COVID, went to the hospital, but the highlight was the paramedics. Now, after the video call was done and we hung up, my family, we chuckled to each other over how enamored my parents were with these paramedics. But thinking about it for a while after, do you know what it says that they were? It says this, that when you are sick, especially when you're very sick, there's nothing better than a doctor. Right now, paramedics aren't doctors, I know, but they do specialize in emergency treatment and medicine. Right, for my dad, there was nothing better, there was nothing more comforting in that moment, in that day, than those two men who came to his house. And hearing them talked about how these men helped them made me think of our text verses, about how the Lord Jesus Christ came into this house full of sinners as a doctor. And he came to help the sick. And it made me sit and wonder even further, if this is what it's going to be like in heaven, a whole crowd of people who'd all once been very, very sick with sin, but are now better, telling each other of the highlight of it all, of the one who came to save them. Everyone is going to be talking about Jesus, aren't they? Of how he came, of everything that he did, of what he was like when he did it. Now, you know, there's one thing yet, I think, that could raise these two men in esteem in the eyes of my parents. One thing. More than they are already. And that's if their neighbors had come out afterwards and said, those paramedics came and helped you. They helped us too. They were amazing. Right? And then the neighbors on the other side come out at the same time and say, us too. And imagine if the whole neighborhood came out saying these two paramedics helped all of us. I mean, what? The whole subdivision would be talking about these two men. Their name would be all over the place. That's heaven, isn't it? That's going to be heaven and the new earth. Every person there, every neighbor with you will have the exact same story of how Jesus came and saved them. And everyone will be marveling with it together more and more as every new person tells their story. And then, as I imagine, Jesus will enter, just like he does in Revelation chapter 5, where everyone's in heaven and Jesus enters heaven. And every creature, when he enters, falls down at his feet and worships him. Well, we might not all get COVID, and if we do, we might not have to call 911, and we might never get to ride in an ambulance in our life and meet two amazing paramedics like my parents did. But that doesn't mean that we are not sick. We are. There is a sickness that is far worse than COVID. And we all have it. And the Bible calls it sin. And the whole world is very, very sick because of sin. And let me tell you, it is going to end your life. Sin is so bad that we all are going to die from it. And not just with it, but from it. And before we do, to make it more miserable for us along the way in life, we're going to feel all the pain of living with this awful disease of sin. And you know, every other sickness that we encounter in this life, every other illness we might have, is just a symptom of this greater illness, sin. Right? Everything. COVID is a symptom of living with sin. Cancer, heart disease, sadness, depression, anxiety, fear, arguments, fights, broken relationships, heartaches, even headaches, backaches, the common cold, a stubbed toe, and even a skinned knee. All of it shows us these are symptoms pointing to the fact that we have the great disease called sin. And it's terminal. Right? We only have so many years to live. There is one thing, therefore, that we need. We need something like 911 that we can call. We need an ambulance. We need paramedics to come. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need a 911 call to heaven for a doctor who can come and heal us of all our sin. We don't just need our symptoms treated. We need our sin itself addressed and treated. And Jesus is the one who can do that. Here in Luke chapter 5, he is at the beginning of his ministry on earth. And he makes it very clear that he is like a paramedic. He is like a doctor who has come to help sinners, to save us from our sin. So we started reading at verse 27. And here in verse 27, we find Jesus interacting with a man named Levi. Right, Levi was a tax collector. Jesus comes to him, it says, as he's sitting in his tax booth, his tax office, and he simply says to him, "Follow me." Right, imagine hearing the Lord Jesus come to you and say those words, "Follow me." Levi got to hear those. And he did. He did. He followed Jesus. That's the compelling power of Jesus' words. And with this, Levi now becomes one of Jesus' 12 main disciples. We know him best, perhaps, by the name of Matthew. He's the one who will later write the Gospel of Matthew. Well, this is Levi. And after they meet, we read that Levi throws Jesus a great feast in his house. Right? And the rest of what this passage tells us about takes place then inside this house during this feast while Jesus is eating. But there's a few things that we need to know about Levi and about this feast to make sense of what comes after. One is this, that tax collectors like Levi were not well-loved people in Jesus' day. They were notoriously corrupt. They were basically government-approved thieves. They were allowed to take as many taxes as they could from the people, as much as they were able to press out of them. And so the more corrupt you were, or the more powerful you were as a tax collector, the wealthier you became. And Levi here appears to have been a man of great wealth, because it says, verse 29, it says he threw a great feast, not just a feast, a great feast. And then it adds, we read, there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. So a lot of people show up, a lot of tax collectors. People just like Levi. In other words, this was not a group of your nice, friendly neighbors meeting together. This was a bunch of thieves and crooks who had gouged honest working people out of their hard-earned money gathering together. And they were celebrating. They were feasting on that money. And Jesus was with them. He sat in the middle of it. In fact, he was the guest of honor at this feast. So that's the setting. And that's who Levi is. And now all of this leads to a confrontation. Because the rest of the people, namely the Pharisees and the scribes, who were the religious leaders and rulers of the day, they show up to complain. They show up, they go to Jesus' disciples, who must have been close physically somewhere to Jesus, beside Jesus. And they ask him the question, verse 30. They ask him, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Now, to them, they're the same thing, right? Tax collectors and sinners, they're synonyms. A tax collector is a sinner. Now, let's be clear, this is a valid question. In many ways. Parents, if you have teenagers, or if you have friends who are hanging around a crowd of people like this, you should be asking them too, "What are you doing?" Right? There's a New Testament parable, or New Testament proverb rather, that says, "Bad company ruins good morals." That's a valid question in a way. So what was Jesus doing, hanging around with, as they're called here, with sinners? Does he not care about sin? And that's why he's feasting with them? Does he not care about bad morals? Does he not care about how they earned all their corrupt money? Well, of course he does. Very much so. But Jesus was not there just to enjoy a big party. As we find out, he must have been close enough to overhear what the Pharisees were complaining about him, because now we see in verse 31, he is the one who answers the question to the disciples. Verse 31, and Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So why was Jesus there? What's he saying with his answer? Well, he's saying a few things. One, he's acknowledging that he's with sinners. All right, it's no secret, he doesn't deny it here. Two, he's telling us they're sick sinners. Right? He's not with those who are well, he says. He's come for those who are sick. So sinners are sick. Sin is a disease. Three, he's calling himself here also, we see, he's calling himself a doctor. He's a physician who specializes, as he says here, in sin. And then four, he's ultimately saying here that he's not there with Levi and his friends on purpose to party with them, but he is there on purpose not to party as if to approve their lifestyle, but he's there to help their life. He's come, he says, into this world for this purpose, to heal sinners, to cure them. So what we see at first glance in this setting is simply a great feast happening with a lot of bad people that nobody likes. But Jesus is telling us here, stop. Look again. What do you see now? What's really happening here? What he wants us to see is a doctor, him, sitting as it were in the hospital with all his patients. Jesus the doctor. Do we know him as doctor? Do you know him as a doctor for you? What makes Jesus a doctor? Well, what makes any doctor a doctor? Two things, perhaps. They have knowledge, right? They need to know what they're doing. They need to know how to heal sick people. And then second, they're licensed. They have to be approved. Licensed. Right? So they need to know what they're doing and they need to be approved. And when it comes to treating sin, Jesus has both of these qualifications, doesn't he? So let's look at knowledge. Does he have enough knowledge? Jesus has the knowledge to deal with sin. He knows exactly what to do. For one, he knows how to heal and even cure this great disease. In fact, he's the only one who can cure our sin. This is one main reason why we really need Jesus. You know, so many people go to him in this life for many other things. But we don't need him because he can make us more successful, though he might bless us. We don't need him because he can make us more rich. We don't need Jesus because he can help us accomplish our dreams, make us feel like we're successful or accomplished or have a purpose in life. No, we need Jesus. We need him because we're sick. And he doesn't just know the cure. He alone has the cure. We need the Lord Jesus because we are sinners, and his blood alone can cleanse us from all our sin. There's a great illustration of this that I read. It's a true story. It happened in 1893. In that year, the world's let's see what it's called exactly, the World's Parliament of Religions met for the first time in Chicago. World's Parliament of Religions. That's a conference, and it's still held now every so often, up to this day, starting in 1893. And it's meant to be a conference or a dialogue of all the world's religions in one place. And so this conference in 1893 was represented by almost every known religion in the world. Well, during one session at this first meeting, Reverend Joseph Cook, he was the one there to represent Christianity. When he had his turn to speak to the room, he stood up and he said this. He said, "Gentlemen, I beg to introduce you to a woman with great sorrow." And he was talking about Lady Macbeth. He went on to describe briefly, in his own words, Shakespeare's play, Macbeth, and Lady Macbeth. If you don't know the story, Lady Macbeth murdered someone with her husband, and at one point she's trying to wash the blood off her hands, but a few spots won't wash off. And those spots are symbolic of the stain of her sin and her guilt of murdering someone. Symbolic in that she can't just wash the stain of her sin away with soap and water. And in the play, she's scrubbing and she's scrubbing, but and she's adding perfume, but nothing can cleanse her, can clean her hands. And she starts to panic, right? The spot won't come out. And so Reverend Cook briefly tells this story, and then he asks this question of everyone there in that room on that day. He asks this. He says, "She has been driven to desperation in her distress." Right? And in Shakespeare's play, she really is panicking. She's been driven to desperation, he says. "Is there anything in any of your religions that will remove her sin and give her peace?" That's what he asked. And do you know what the answer was? Silence. The whole room sat in silence. There was no answer. All the religions of the world were present, and one question stopped all their mouths. No one had an answer for how she could remove her sin. And standing there in the silence, Joseph Cook suddenly looked up and he called out. He called out, looking up, "John, can you tell this woman how to get rid of her awful sin?" And he stood again, he waited, looking up to heaven, as if waiting for an answer. And then he called out again. He said, "Listen, John speaks." And he quoted from the Bible, John's first epistle, 1 John 1, verse 7, and he said, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And then he sat down. That was it. And still there was silence. The representatives of every religion in the world had nothing to say. When it comes to the greatest disease that this world knows, which is far worse than COVID, our sin, there's only one answer for it. Only the blood of Jesus can cure us. And he shed his blood for us on the cross. Now, I know it's not nice, it's bad news to talk about sin, to talk about a disease, but this is the good news in our sin, the highlight, that Jesus' blood can cure us. And it is better than any vaccine. Right? His blood's not just 80% effective, or 90%, or 95% even, it's 100% effective. It's 100% effective also against every variant and every strain of sin that you might have in your life or face in the future. If you have never gone to Jesus to cleanse your sin with his blood, we are invited. This is why he came, he says here. See again in Luke chapter 5 where he's sitting, in the middle of a room of sinners. That's an invitation for you and me. We need to go to him. And if we do, we will be cleansed of all our sin if we go in faith asking. So Jesus is a doctor because he knows what he's doing. For one, he knows the cure. He has the cure. But he also knows what he's doing because he knows the medicine. He has the medicine. And we know this, doctors do this, right? After a doctor's visit or after surgery, perhaps. They send you home with medicine, with a prescription to help you recover. Well, Jesus also, like any good doctor, has medicine. Listen to this. He says in verse 32, he says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So he's really saying, I've come to call sinners to repentance. That's the medicine. Repentance. Why repentance? What is repentance? Well, repentance is when, say you're facing this way and here's sin, and you turn away from sin. You turn the opposite direction of that sin. Right, you walk away from sin. Instead of saying yes to that sin and grabbing it with both arms, you say no to that sin and you turn your back to that sin. Right? And you confess as you turn, you confess your sins to God. Right? That's repentance. Now, a heart doctor, for example, if you have a bad heart, he will tell you to change your diet. Right? He or she will say to you, stay away from high sugar and high fat foods. Avoid anything with bad cholesterol. And he might also send you home with a cholesterol pill. Right? But it's not about just that one pill, is it? It's about a lifestyle change that he's prescribing. Right? And that's exactly what repentance is here. Repentance is not just a pill that we take once a day or once a week or every so often. It's a lifestyle change. If sin is a disease, and it is, then you doing sinful things as a sinner is like you going and drinking, you know, a gallon of bacon fat after you had a heart attack. Right? It's another heart attack waiting to happen. It's a lifestyle change Jesus is calling us to when he calls us to repentance. Now, no one likes lifestyle changes, really. No one likes to change their diet, even, if we're honest. And neither do we like to take this medicine that Jesus prescribes here. We don't like repentance. Why? Because we really love sin. And we really don't want to give it up. Now, we might say, I don't love sin. But I wonder if that's because we're looking at other people's sin. Right? When we look at other people's sin, it always looks bad. You can even feel horrified. How could that person do that one thing? I can't believe it. And you can tell yourself, see, I don't love sin. I'm righteous. But we all have different preferences, we have to remember. We all have things that we like that others don't like. Also, when it comes to sin, we have our pet sins. Try looking at your own sin and then asking the question, do I love sin? We might not love all sin, but the sin that we do, we can really love, and it can be super hard to give up. That's what makes Jesus' medicine so hard for us to take. We don't want to live a life of repentance. We don't want to live a life of always turning away from what we love in sin, of saying no to that. And it comes every day again and again, and we constantly have to say no. It's hard. I know it. But here's where we're at. We're on the brink of death because of our sin. Sin is no joke. There's no dabbling in sin. It's horrendous and horrible. And Jesus knows just what we need. He knows if we continue with sin every day, we are risking our life. Every moment, we are risking our life. And like a good doctor, Jesus knows what this disease can do to us. And like a good doctor, he knows what to prescribe. He calls us to repent, to live a life of repentance. Do we? Do you? Have we gone to him? And have we listened to him calling us to repent? And have we said, yes, Lord, for my life, for my health, I will. What would your family doctor do if he prescribed something, but you never took it? If Jesus is your doctor, are you listening to what he says? Are you turning away from your sin and saying no to it? So Jesus knows what he's doing as a doctor. He has the cure. He has the medicine. And one more thing. He also has the bedside manner. Right? With a doctor, their bedside manner can make all the difference in the world. If you've ever been in a hospital, you might know that. Jesus has the best bedside manner. He was here, wasn't he? Eating in Levi's house. He went right to him. I doubt any of the religious leaders in Jerusalem who were complaining about Jesus on this day had ever done that, had ever gone into a sinner's house and to help them. But it's not just here in Luke 5. Read through the Gospels, all of them. This is who Jesus was all the time. He was tender always with hurting people. He accepted everyone who came to him for help. There's not one person whom Jesus turned away. There's not one person he shut the door on. He didn't refuse anyone. He never set up certain conditions either for their healing. No, people came to him and they left cured. No matter what trouble or sickness they had, and they were sent away, all of them, with the medicine of repentance. You know, the Gospels show us abundant evidence that Jesus is kind to sinners. We should never stay away because we think he's unkind. You know, some of you might know the song by City of Light called Jesus Strong and Kind. It's one of my favorites. I'm going to read the lyrics here for you. And I can't help but picture Jesus as a doctor sitting on the bed with a patient as I hear these words, and seeing him interact with that patient, seeing him smile, you know, putting his hand tenderly on theirs, saying something encouraging, you know, and then getting up and going to the next bed and doing the same thing all over again, moving from bed to bed like this. Maybe you can picture him as a doctor too, as I read these words. Jesus, strong and kind. Jesus said that if I thirst, I should come to him. No one else can satisfy. I should come to him. Jesus said, if I am weak, I should come to him. No one else can be my strength. I should come to him. Jesus said that if I fear, I should come to him. No one else can be my shield. I should come to him. Jesus said, if I am lost, he will come to me. And he showed me on that cross, he will come to me. And then the chorus goes like this. For the Lord is good and faithful. He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus. Jesus, strong and kind. We can always run to Jesus. Jesus, strong and kind. Right now being sick, it's not nice. I get it. I know it. You know, but there is a highlight in it all. There's a doctor. There's one who's kind, who can cure our sin. Jesus. This is why he came, he says here, for sinners just like us, like all of us. And he's the best doctor ever. He says we should come to him. We should come to him. So Jesus is a doctor because he knows what he's doing. He knows. He has the cure, he has the medicine, and he has the bedside manner. He is strong and kind. So that's first, right? Two qualifications for a doctor. You have to know what you're doing. But second, to be a doctor, you have to be approved. This is going to be very brief this morning, but Jesus is approved as well. God is the judge who will rule at the end of time and declare who can and cannot enter into eternal life. And he has declared that sinners who are not cured will not be able to. No disease, we're told, will be able to enter into heaven or the new earth. But Jesus, his own son, is approved by him to be our physician, to be the one to cure us. God the Father sent him into this world. John 3, verse 16 says, God the Father gave his son to the world to be our physician. Jesus is the one approved doctor. And he's approved by the one who matters most, the one who will be our judge. But more than that, he's approved by God, but he's also approved by many, many, many people ever since. Word of mouth, reputation, it has spread from person to person. Everyone who's gone to him for healing, everyone in faith, recommends Jesus. He is approved by sinners. Now, there are many who do go to him for other reasons, as I said before, and they end up after a while not recommending him. But again, that's because he didn't come to be our personal banker, right? He didn't come to be our weekend entertainment, you know, as he is for most in North American Christianity. No, he came to be a doctor for sinners. And if we go to him as a doctor for sinners, for our sin, looking for healing for our sin, then we will be satisfied. We will go away cured, recommending him to everyone else and saying, he is approved by me. And speaking of recommending him, he is a doctor, and yet he has done what no other doctor would ever do for you. He gave his own life so that he could provide you with a cure. On the cross, he shed his blood because that was the cure that you and I need for our sin. He had surgery for us, as it were. He went under the knife for us in our place so that we wouldn't have to. What doctor would ever do that for you? Jesus. He's approved by God and by sinners. So he is a doctor for sin. He knows what he's doing, and he's approved. I hope you see him this morning as a doctor for you and for your sin. You know, I wonder what it'll all be like in heaven to hear everyone talk about Jesus. What a day that will be, won't it? He will be the highlight of heaven, won't he? You know, maybe we'll hear people saying, he's so good. Just like my parents said over and over again about the paramedics. But you know, my parents wouldn't have any clue about how good those paramedics were if they hadn't have called them when my father was sick. And I say the same to you this morning. You will have no clue about how good Jesus is unless you call upon him. You have to go to him. Call on Jesus. Look for healing from him. If you get to know him as your doctor now in this life, then you will have an eternity to tell everyone how good he was. And you know also, I wouldn't have any clue of how good those paramedics were either. if my parents hadn't told me about them. So if you've been cured and healed by Jesus, go. Tell others about him. Let others know just how good he is. Make this the highlight of sin, that you get to tell others of the good physician, the Lord Jesus, who came and saved your life. Let's pray.